My name is Goran Hansen. I am an old retired sea captain. Over the years, I have collected some 400 CDs of old jazz music, mostly New Orleans jazz. That is the music I play in these jazz podcasts. Please note that it is not my own voice you hear in this podcast. The original podcasts were made in Swedish. The voice belongs to MS Office's text-to-voice service. But the texts are mine. Translations from the original Swedish version. This is podcast number 42 and we continue our car ride through the United States. We rented a car in New Jersey and drove west. Pennsylvania, Indiana, and Ohio. The former two podcasts were about the indigenous peoples who once lived there.
Moin vänna, Kaskaskla, Peoria, Tamaroa, Shahokia.
These tribes populated the territory that would become the state of Illinois around the mid-1800s. It is understood that the area was populated by indigenous civilizations, Indians, for more than 7,000 years. Maybe a lot further back. In Illinois, we reached St. Louis, where we hooked up on Route 66 just south of the capital, Springfield. The legendary Route 66 headed south, toward the state of Missouri. Route 66 began in Chicago and ended in Los Angeles. Now we leave the land of Illinois and the Peoria and Tamaroa Indians behind us. Those who once lived free in southern the state of Illinois. Without much fanfare, we drove across the border into Missouri. The state was named after the Missouri River that flows across the state. It emerges near Kansas City and exits at St. Louis. Eventually, it fills up the Mississippi and accompanies it to New Orleans. Music. Now one of New Orleans jazz's earliest trumpeters born in 1894 in Raceland, Louisiana. He was active on the jazz scene in New Orleans until 1926. He moved to Chicago and disappeared from the jazz scene with the Great Depression of 1929. Eventually, he reappeared in New Orleans and became a firm trumpeter at Preservation Hall. He played extensively with George Lewis in the 1960s. They made a TV movie about him Till the Butcher Cuts Him Down. Casey Jones was an American hero. A train driver from Mississippi. He showed great skill and stopped a runaway train. He saved the lives of hundreds of passengers. Here Punch Miller plays a tribute to Casey Jones. In the state of Missouri, there were once two major Native American groups that called the area their home. The Missouri Indians and Osage Indians. Some smaller groups in Missouri were Illini and Quapaw. I say once because many were involuntarily relegated to Indian territory. This Indian territory would eventually turn into Oklahoma. The federal state of the United States passed a law that made it possible to move Indians from their homelands. The act was introduced in 1830 and was named the Indian Removal Act. Now the United States Army could move Native American groups from their settlements to places where they were less in the way of development. The migration took place between 1830 and 1860. The name Trail of Tears says something about how it happened. People had lived in their territories for ten thousands of years. Now they were relocated to small areas that was, in my opinion, given an inappropriate name, Indian reservations. It was President Andrew Jackson and the federal government in Washington that were behind it. We will take a closer look at these Indian reservations when we get to Oklahoma. Now some music. A prominent clarinetist, Matty Matlock. He was born in 1907 in Kentucky and played with Bob Crosby over the years. Here they play together, Dogtown Blues. Thank you. Let's start with one of the two major groups in Missouri, the Missouri Indians. They called themselves Niutachi, which means the people from the mouth of the river. They had their origins north of the Great Lakes until the early 1500s. They moved south and settled at the mouth of the Missouri River. The 1600s were difficult years for the Missouri Indians. They were attacked by the people who were already there. As if this were not enough, the population was reduced by the European colonizers. It was mainly Frenchmen who came from the south to trade with them. With them they had European infectious diseases and smallpox. In the early 1700s, they moved further west, into Osage Indian Territory. It was during this time that the Missouri Indians stepped into the horse culture. They learned to ride and chase bison from horseback. Music. Pianist Benny Moten was from Kansas City. Kansas City was not far from us along Route 66. Half the city is in Kansas and the other half in Missouri. Benny Moten was born in 1894 on the Missouri side. He was a prominent band leader. He is also known for discovering Count Basie. Count Basie eventually took over Benny Moten's piano. And later his entire orchestra. Then Count Basie took the entire orchestra to my hometown Landskrona in 1963. They visited Landskrona on its 550-year anniversary celebrations. I was there. Here's Benny Moten's orchestra. Somebody Stole My Gal. In 1730, things began to go downhill with the Missouri Indians. They were attacked by a band of Sauk and Fox Indians. Hundreds were killed and they were nearly wiped out. Several survivors teamed up with the Oto people. The Missouri Indians' misfortune did not end there. After being reinfected by smallpox in 1829, there were only 100 Missouri Indians left. This small remnant of 100 individuals was persuaded by the government in Washington to sign an agreement. They ceded their territory to the federal government. The state, in turn, sold land to European colonizers and settlers. Missouri Indians switched to farming. They became farmers on allotted parcels of land. When oil was found on their land, they were forced out. In 1910, there were only 13 Missouri Indians left. The remaining Missouri Indians have today teamed up with the Oto people. One can say that the Missouri Indians are practically wiped out as a distinct group. Tragic, to say the least. Music. The title of the next song reflects a somewhat the fate of the American Indians. The way they were treated by the colonizers. Weary translates, tired, exhausted. The great clarinetist George Lewis and his orchestra play, Weary Blues. Continue further south in Missouri, towards the border with Kansas. We started in St. Louis and set our sights on the well-known border town of Joplin. We have now passed the land of the Missouri Indians. We continue over the Great Prairies where the Osage Indians resided. They called themselves Neocasca, which stands for the people between the waters. As usual, it was the French who misinterpreted Neocasca to Osage. Their origin is the area between the Ohio and Mississippi rivers. They wandered west in the 1600s and eventually ended up in what are today the states of Missouri and Kansas. They were looking for new hunting grounds. In the early 1800s, the Osage Indians became the dominant group in the area. They controlled a large territory between the Red River towards the south and Missouri towards the north. They were fierce warriors and feared by the other American Indian groups that existed in the area. They were described by the Europeans as the tallest and proudest of all the Native American peoples they had met. Many over 2 meters tall. Music. The next song will be performed by Paul Whiteman's orchestra. Paul Whiteman was born in Denver, Colorado. He ran one of the most popular orchestras in the United States in the 1920s and 30s. He received the epithet King, King of Jazz. But Paul Whiteman also became a victim of the Great Depression of 1929. His popularity faded and he disappeared from the scene. Here with the St. Louis Blues. But the tall, brave, and dreaded Osage Indians met similar fates as other indigenous peoples. During the 1800s, Osage Indians were forced to move. It became a trail of tears to Indian territory, now Oklahoma. They were allowed to settle in an Indian reservation, the Osage Nation. They became neighbors with other groups forced to settle there. Cherokee, Muscogee, Pawnee, and the Kaw people. But in the early 1900s, oil was found on the Osage's new land. The Osages suddenly became rich by leasing their land to the oil companies. This was not perceived well by the white immigrants. During the 1920s and 30s, Osages were subjected to what is called the Reign of Terror. It was outsiders who were eager to take over their land. They were subjected to manipulation, fraud, and numerous murders. Today, the Osage Indians have come to a settlement with the federal government. Since 1994, they have formed a nation of their own. They have agreed on which individuals to be included in the Osage group in order to form a democratic Osage Nation government. Today, the Osage people has 13,500 members, mostly in Oklahoma. Music. I Must Have It is the title of a song written and recorded by King Oliver in 1930. I Must Have It could be a slogan of the immigrants who tried to lay their hands on the oil-rich land of the Osage Indians in the 1920s and 30s. This was around the same time King Oliver wrote the song. Hear King Oliver with his own I Must Have It. We have now driven through the state of Missouri. From St. Louis to Joplin. We passed two of the ancient homelands of the great indigenous peoples. The Niutachi or Missouri Indians, as the colonizers called them. And Neokaska, or in French, the Osage Indians. At the town of Joplin, Route 66 takes a short tour through Kansas. Kansas was the land of the Cheyenne Indians. But let's talk about them in the next podcast. Thank you for listening.